Rick Moon Fiction presents Animacules, Part 5, Ripper.
The house is just up ahead. Mind the alligator.
Keiko yelped and jerked the steering wheel, sending the van into a skid on the gravel shoulder. Fee was jolted out of an uneasy sleep in one of the back seats.
Hey! Sorry, Fee. There was an alligator.
It was only trying to cross the street, Max added, as though it would be reassuring.
Essie.
Fee sat up and looked out the window. It was just after dawn and foggy. They were the only vehicle on a curving and loosely paved road. The shoulders led down into deep ditches on either side. Fat oak trees draped with Spanish moss lined the ditches, with nothing visible beyond but more oak trees. Fee shifted uncomfortably. Louisiana was hot and sticky. She had been sitting for far too long, and the animalcules kept climbing over her as they ran back and forth across the seat. Ripper had shredded most of the upholstery around her. Taper had covered much of the rear windows in duct tape. There were marbles all over the floor. One of Keiko's animalcules, Coffee, kept producing cups of coffee and offering them to Fee, Max, and Keiko. Some of these were in styrofoam cups, some in ceramic mugs, and some in paper cups with cardboard sleeves. One even had Fee's name written on the sleeve in marker somehow. Most of these had been poured out the window of the van, with the cups being left to clutter the back seats. It had taken 2 days of driving to reach Louisiana, and hours of driving up and down winding back roads to find what Max kept referring to as the spot. Throughout the journey, he had quizzed both Fee and Keiko repeatedly about their animalcules, which animalcule had combined its ability with which other ones, and how, and under what circumstances. Keiko was more than happy to recount every interaction she had had with them.
Also, Max, some mornings Boost would help Coffee to set a cup of coffee onto my nightstand just before I would wake up. I would smell it just before my alarm went off. I stopped using my alarm after a couple of weeks.
Max jotted Keiko's accounts down.
I see. Was his behavior consistent regardless of weather or days of the week?
Keiko considered.
I think so. Oh, no! On Sundays, the coffee always had extra flavoring added, like vanilla.
Fee watched him pause from writing to add quick sketches of Coffee and Boost in a nightstand.
Don't you already know what they look like?
Of course I do.
Now, what rhymes with nightstand?
For Fee, the road trip had been a long one. They pulled up to a small Victorian house shaded by ancient oaks. Its white paint was cracked and chipped, and the lawn was badly overgrown. Keiko put the van in park and leaned in toward the windshield for a better look.
Is this it?
Max popped open the passenger door and slid out. This is it. All the animalcules climbed over Fee, forcing her to wait for them before she could let herself out. Her hamstrings ached from sitting for hours, and she squinted in the sunlight.
How do we know that Brian and What's-His-Face aren't already here?
Keiko scooped coffee up with her arms and spun around, taking in the view.
It doesn't look like anyone's been here in a while. Let's stay positive. Max says they do not know about his place.
Max was already headed for the front door. The animalcules, except for Coffee, were with him. Keiko set Coffee down so it could run after the others.
Come on, Fee!
Fee reluctantly trudged up onto the porch after them. Max had picked up Opens and held the creature up to the door. Opens grabbed the knob between his paws and turned. The door swung open and Max set the creature back down again.
Good job, Opens.
Opens wagged its tail happily on its way inside with the others.
Why don't you just open it yourself?
The animalcules like to be useful.
Besides, sometimes they do something I don't expect, and that's a learning opportunity.
From the looks of the outside, Fee had expected the inside to be layers of dust and possibly furniture covered in dusty sheets like in the movies. Instead, the wood floor shined with polish, and so did the table and shelves. The living room was arranged in a semicircle of winged reading chairs with a strange pattern printed on them. As she stepped closer, she realized that instead of a printed pattern, the chairs were actually covered in rainbow stickers. Keiko looked around and frowned.
Max, I thought you said this was a secret house that no one knew about.
It looks like someone lives here.
Something overhead caught Fee's eye. She looked up to see that the ceiling, too, was covered with rainbow stickers. I'm guessing there are a few someone's living here, and I'm pretty sure one of them is named Stickers. Max ran his fingers through his hair and chuckled.
Yeah, a few of them wanted to stay here.
He glanced up the staircase and down the hall.
I wonder where they've gotten to.
Keiko beamed and bounced on her feet. Max started to answer, but she jumped in again.
Wait! Let me guess! Stickers? Yes, I see the chairs! Stickers is one! Then, dust?
Max was checking the windows.
Duster.
Duster! Okay!
She tapped her foot on the shiny wood flooring.
Mops?
No, that would be the work of suds and brushes.
He ran his fingers through his hair again.
Where the hell have they gone? Wait, this is unusual. It could be important.
He pulled out his notepad and began scribbling again.
Answer me.
Suddenly, all the animalcules went trotting upstairs. Keiko and Max followed immediately. Fee remained where she was in the living room for a moment, before sighing and trudging up after them. She found them all standing outside a closed door at the end of the upstairs hall. This time, Keiko boosted opens up to turn the knob. Fee sighed again. The door swung open into a large bedroom. The four animalcules Max had mentioned were busy inside. Duster, a purple fluffy thing with long drooping ears, was dusting the windowsill using its ears. Suds and Brushes, both on the larger side with irregular brown spots, were working on the floor. And Stickers, silvery colored with wiry looking curled fur, was methodically applying rainbow stickers to a mirror over the dresser. They paused to glance at Max when he walked in before turning back to resume their work. Max's shoulders slumped.
Stickers. Duster? Brushes? What's the matter? Why are you in this room?
Opens and Boost trotted over to a double door closet on the opposite side of the room and opened it with their combined skills. From inside, several cardboard boxes tumbled out, scattering their contents onto the floor. Women's clothes, jewelry, and entire boxes of handwritten spiral notebooks. Stacks began piling the notebooks in columns, while Folds and Puts busied themselves arranging the sweaters and blouses back in their boxes. Fee grabbed one of the notebooks away from Stax.
This is about the animalcules.
She looked at Max.
But this isn't your handwriting. Who wrote this?
Max looked at the carpet.
My wife, Megan.
Keiko looked surprised.
I researched you a lot to find you. I didn't know you had ever been married.
Max looked stung.
I am married. Megan didn't die. She's still there. Just haven't found a way back yet.
I'm so sorry. You mean you've been separated all these years?
He nodded. Fee looked skeptical.
Why don't you just build another portal machine? I've built 26 of them over the years. They all blew up or warped themselves into nothingness or they caught on fire. I was working on a new design and I hired Brian's company to special make some parts for me. I didn't tell them what they were for, but he must have figured it out. Then he started questioning me and hacked into my files. Then one thing led to another and, well, here we are. I didn't want giants destroying cities.
He slumped, looking defeated.
I just wanted Megan back.
Fee flipped through the notebook.
Unlike Max's crazy quilts of notations, drawings, and poetry, Megan's notes were orderly and concise. There were pages filled with columns of equations Fee couldn't begin to comprehend. And there were details on the size, weight, appearance of each animalcule, along with their ability. Stickers, weight, 12 pounds, fur, silver, curled, height, 10.1 inches, length, 14.4 inches, ability, affixes rainbow stickers to surfaces, potential, unknown. What does she mean by potential? We had a theory that the animalcule's abilities could be magnified. The thermoregulator uses an array of prisms to amplify the potential of an egg, allowing it to hatch. But with the right configuration, it could amplify an animalcule that has already hatched. That's sort of what Brian's been doing, except it's unstable, obviously, and they don't stay magnified. Megan would not have approved of his methods. The next entry caught her eye. Ripper. Weight, 14.3 pounds. Fur, gray, striped with tufts. Height, 9.7 inches. Length, 13.9 inches. Ability, creates tears in objects. Potential, with sufficient amplification, could tear reality. Fee read the last part several times before looking up at Max. Could tear reality? What does that mean? He shrugged sullenly. Ripper's entry? Yeah, I considered it before. Over and over, actually. But even if I could magnify his abilities with Brian's modifications to the thermoregulator, Ripper still wouldn't be strong enough to open a portal. Are you sure? He waved a hand sideways. Yes, I've done the math hundreds of times. Fee's brow furrowed. You've done the math? Yes. Fee cleared her throat. What's 13 times 7? Keiko looked up. No, don't help him. What is it? Max snorted. Don't be ridiculous. What's 13 times 7? I don't need... Fee folded her arms and glared. He rolled his eyes in annoyance. 81, obviously. Keiko looked at him sadly and patted his arm. Fee snapped the notebook shut. That does it. We need to get that thermoregulator from Brian and use it on Ripper. Max looked confused. It's 91. You suck at math, but I'm guessing Megan didn't. So we give her idea a try. Max stood and paced. I don't see how I could have been wrong, but if Megan... Yes, of course. That's why the animalcules wanted us to come back to Korber. If I somehow miscalculated, then maybe the altered thermoregulator could be enough. We just need to get it away from the jumpsuits and... He threw up his hands. If we could just do that, then there would be no problem. What there? Keiko sat and folded her arms in her lap, looking thoughtful. How many jumpsuits are there? Max shook his head. I'm not sure. Three that I've seen. Brian has hinted at hundreds, but he may just be trying to scare me. Fee thought for a moment. Brian is tearing up cities because he thinks you have the portal machine, right? Why didn't you just tell him it was gone? I did. Repeatedly. He thinks I'm lying to keep it to myself. How do you prove that you don't have something? You can't, but that's okay. If Brian thinks he has a chance to open a portal using Ripper, he won't waste time gathering other people together. Keiko sat down on the bed and folded her arms. But if it works and Ripper really does open a portal for Brian? Fee smiled. Brian's not going to make Ripper do anything. One thing I'm sure of, my animalcules don't do a damn thing they're told. Fee stood with Keiko and Max in a cluster of trees and bushes a few dozen yards from the house watching Ripper, who sat in the driveway, staring into space and blinking his big black eyes slowly. This isn't gonna work. He won't come.
It was your idea, Fee.
I'm always right, too. He's not going to come, and we're going to stand out here all night getting eaten by mosquitoes. Max slapped a mosquito on his arm.
He'll come.
What exactly did you tell him?
Don't worry, I was careful. I just called and pretended to negotiate for the thermoregulator. And dropped a few little hints about what it could do to an animalcule like Ripper.
I bet you were obvious. He's not stupid. And he's not coming!
Ow!
Keiko wiped her hand on her jeans.
Sorry, V. There was a mosquito. Like you said, he is desperate. He won't pass up an opportunity. And we are ready.
I don't know. I thought we were going to be more clever about it than just this. She gestured at Ripper, who still sat passively in the middle of the driveway. Max yawned and waved a dismissive hand.
He'll be fine.
Ripper began chewing on his foot. Another giant one is going to show up and squash us.
I just know it.
Max shook his head.
I don't think so. The thermoregulator doesn't have infinite power, and it needs to recharge each time. He couldn't afford to waste it. He needs it for Ripper.
A sudden ear-splitting barrage of beeps and squeals drowned them out. Bee clamped her hands over her ears as the noise grew into an unbearable cacophony of pings, beeps, crackles, and zaps. Then a tree fell over beside her. She looked up in shock at the thing that had knocked it over. Ripper had become a giant. She backed away, realizing belatedly that the noise had stopped. Ripper tilted its giant face toward them and blinked slowly. Max called up to it.
There's a good boy, Ripper. Mind the trees.
Ripper blinked. Keiko had grabbed Fee's arm and was pulling her toward the creature.
Come on!
Fee jerked her arm back.
Come on what? Brian is here somewhere! We need to get the thermoregulator!
Or we let him open a portal and then just let him go through it, and then we're done!
But that wouldn't solve anything!
Sure it will! If he's in another world, then there's no more monsters destroying cities. Problem solved!
But what about the animalcules? And Max's wife?
Well, what about them?
Don't look at me like that.
We don't know his wife, and she's probably dead anyway.
And the animalcules can take care of themselves as long as no one is turning them into monsters.
There's no problem here that shoving Brian through a portal won't solve.
And if Max wants to go with him, he can.
Bee, I know you like to be difficult, but...
Keiko's eyes went wide. Fee turned in time to see Ripper reaching a giant claw in front of it and tearing a long, thin hole in the air. A portal. Within the portal, strange lights and colors swirled. Space rippled and wobbled. Ripper shook, its eyes blinking rapidly and its fur fluttering as it began to shrink. It gave a small yelp and collapsed onto the driveway, laying on its side, already back to its normal size. Ripper wasn't moving. Fee found herself rushing over to make sure the creature was all right. She didn't see Brian approaching until they were almost face to face. He was carrying the thermoregulator on his back and appeared to be alone. He and Fee looked at each other for a moment. Fee could feel chilly air coming from the portal drafting toward her and giving her goosebumps. Without a word, Brian scooped up Ripper and leapt into the portal. The portal flashed blue and green and the air around it undulated like water. She heard Max's voice behind her.
He really did it. We can go through it. I need to write this down.
No, no, let's get through it and then we can write it down.
He took Ripper.
Fee sounded stunned. Max was excitedly studying the portal and taking notes.
It's different from the one years ago. That must have something to do with the method of opening it. The breeze coming through it is the same. I think it has to do with the difference in air pressures. We need to go through it, but I've got to write this down. Megan will want notes. Quick, what rhymes with thermoregulator?
Bee, are you all right?
He took Ripper!
She pushed past Max and jumped in. The air had suddenly become very dry and brisk. She found herself standing on a very large rock. At least, she guessed it was a rock. It was shiny gray and slightly translucent. Confusing shafts of light poked through a canopy of trees with thick, drooping branches and long, thin leaves. Ahead of her, she saw herself. A scene from the side, standing on the same rock, except it was light blue, as was the other fee. She stepped back, startled. The blue fee did the same. She paused and waved her left hand experimentally. The blue fee waved hers too. Fee turned to her right, and there, on another rock, stood a green fee, and beyond that a yellow fee. Except the yellow fee wasn't alone. There were two people standing behind her.
Are you okay?
She jumped at the sound of Keiko's voice. She and Max were standing behind her.
Where did you come from?
Max stepped past her and jumped down from the rock into the patch of thick, bluish grass below.
Through the portal, same as you. Come on.
He jogged off into the fog of swirling colors. Then the animacules appeared behind her and ran quickly past her after Max, all of hers and Keiko's animacules, except for Ripper. Keiko jumped down after them.
Aren't you coming?
Fee nodded and followed. The grass was thick and spongy. Curlicue weeds stuck up in bunches. She followed Keiko, who seemed to have some sense of where they were going. There were tall, thin trees all around them 1 minute, and then a wide, dark river was running to their right, but then it was to their left, and then the trees were back. She wasn't sure they were even moving in the same direction the entire time.
Fee, are you keeping up?
Yes.
I thought I saw you ahead of me for a moment, then I didn't. But I heard Max's footsteps go this way.
She pointed.
Wasn't the river flowing the other way a minute ago?
Yes! Or I think maybe we were just seeing it from a different angles? Max said something about that, didn't he?
Fee threw up her hands.
Then how are we supposed to find anything or anyone?
And where did all the animacules go? Why aren't they helping us?
I think maybe they think we don't need help. Or maybe there is something they need to do that's more important.
Max could have at least waited for us, or told us where to go, or something. I guess this is what I get for trying to help.
Keiko frowned.
Maybe he had something to do that was more important too. Come on! I think it's this way.
Suddenly, there were houses. No, Fee realized after a moment that there was only one house. She was just seeing it from every angle at once. It was very small and built wedged in between two very large trees. The color of the wood seemed to change as they got closer, and then Fee could have sworn that there were more windows from further back. There was a narrow front door with a free-sweeping pet door at the bottom.
There is someone inside!
Keiko, wait!
We don't know anything about...
It was too late. Keiko was already standing on the little wooden porch, knocking. Before Fee could pull her away, the door swung open.
Max! What the hell did you run off and leave us for?
Max looked disappointed at seeing them. He shrugged and motioned them inside. You can take care of yourselves, and I thought... He sighed. She isn't here. But maybe she'll come back. Do you think she will? Or should I go out and look? But then if she came back here, I would miss her. What do you think? Fee looked around. It was fairly cramped inside. There were drawings of strange machines pinned all over the walls. Tables were piled with more drawings and baskets full of crystals.
Are you sure this is her house?
He seemed to perk up a little.
Oh, yes. These are her sketches. Very neat and detailed.
He examined one of the larger ones on the wall more closely. It looks like she's been working on... Keiko looked up from examining the basket full of crystals.
What is it, Max?
He raked his fingers through his hair and examined another sketch, and then another, looking increasingly concerned.
It looks like... it's strange. It looks like she's been working on a multiphasic resonance inhibitor with some sort of added transdimensional wave straightener functionality.
Fee folded her arms.
She's doing what with a what?
He waved a hand vaguely, still looking over the sketches.
It's complicated. But it's not what I expected. It's not how she would open a portal if she was trying to go home. It's more like, this is actually an awful lot like Brian's theory. That couldn't be right.
V threw up her hands.
What in the hell are you talking about?
Well, after Brian hacked into my prism files, he contacted me about this theory of his. It was ridiculous, so I dismissed it, of course. His math made no sense. Sinkholes in reality,
My focus was opening a stable portal and getting back here. Not nonsense like that.
He walked across the room to examine more sketches pinned to the wall. But if Megan thinks there really is a sinkhole...
He took a sudden deep breath and turned to them.
This could be bad.
How bad?
Well, it looks like she's been working on a machine to fix the sinkhole, but...
Stop saying huh!
Well, it looks like she's having a challenging time trying to find the right prism lens for the resonance inhibitor.
V's eyes narrowed. And that means... what exactly?
That she can't fix the sinkhole. Which means...
He looked thoughtful for a moment.
It means it will grow faster and faster, swallowing this entire world and then all the surrounding worlds, probably starting with ours.
Keiko gasped.
Fee rolled her eyes.
Max pulled out his notepad and flicked back through the pages.
If this is right, I guess I owe Brian an apology.
Keiko was wringing her hands.
If this is right, then we must do something! Everyone is in danger and our animacules are out there somewhere! Where's this machine?
No idea. Max shrugged. Then Megan will know. We just need to find her.
As far as the machine, I have some ideas, but I would need to crunch the numbers. He broke off at the sound of someone yelling outside. It was a woman's voice.
Do you have any idea what you've done?
Fee recognized the male voice who answered. Brian's.
Have some perspective.
Perspective? They could have been hurt.
Fee ran outside after Max and Keiko. Brian was walking toward them with the thermoregulator still on his back and Ripper tucked under his arm. A woman walked beside him. She was gesturing at him angrily. She was tall, with a long braid of gray hair falling over her shoulder. She wore faded and ill-fitting cargo pants and a frumpy blouse.
Megan!
Fee looked away in mild social discomfort as Max and Megan ran into each other's arms. Brian set Ripper down. Fee immediately scooped the creature up, examining it for injuries. She found none, but scowled at Brian anyway.
Max, you've aged so much, but you know, I think I like it.
Five animacules Fee had never seen before came up from behind Megan to greet Max, too. He let go of Megan to stoop and pet each of them.
Hello, pins, saws, and welds. Have you been working hard? Switches!
Have you been a good boy?
Hey there, Curry. I've missed your cooking.
Megan folded her arms.
Max, you and I need to talk.
Of course.
I'm serious.
She pointed her thumb at Brian. Your assistant has some ideas of how to fix the sinkhole. Brian straightened.
I'm not his assistant.
Aren't you?
Oh, I just assumed.
Anyway, we need to get to work. I haven't been able to find the lens I need, but...
Brian cut in.
There's a lens in the thermoregulator that I think will work.
Yes, I'm way ahead of you. Don't interrupt. We need to hurry. The animacules got you all here just in time.
Where's the sinkhole?
Megan pointed. That way. She pointed a few degrees further left.
Or that way, if you want to approach it from the opposite side.
She and Max headed off, holding hands. Keiko looked at Fee, who shrugged, and followed. They stepped through a thicket of thin, reedy trees and faced the edge of a vast, swirling field of darkness. The ground heaved and swelled and shifted into puddles of shadow.
The air was filled with an endless cascade of gray and black particles V couldn't identify. Megan had said they could have approached it from the other side, but V couldn't see the other side, only heaving shadows under dark snow stretching on forever. She stepped back, shaken.
You said it's growing?
Yesterday it was less than half the size it is now. A year ago it would have fit into the palm of my hand. When Max and I first came here, it was too small to even be seen at all. So we don't have much time. The machine is this way. Fee and Keiko and the animacules followed her down a worn path that veered away from the sinkhole into the woods. Brian and Max lagged behind, comparing notes and muttering to each other. They seemed to have put aside whatever conflict they had to deal with the situation at hand. Fee noticed that they were walking past a strange machine. It consisted of an office chair bolted to a metal base. Facing the chair was a small panel of buttons with a dial. Behind the chair, there was a metal cylinder with tangled wire coming out from the bottom. They were walking past it, and then, Fee saw, they were walking toward it. Megan stopped and turned. She opened her mouth to speak, then noticed that Max and Brian were still muttering to each other over Max's notes.
Ahem. Sorry, dear.
That's all right. Now, if the two of you would, please remove the appropriate lens from the thermoregulator and install it in the inhibitor. Brian shrugged off the thermoregulator and he and Max went to work dismantling it. Keiko watched them curiously.
What does it do exactly?
Max pulled a handful of wire from the cylinder and examined it.
Beautiful work.
He looked up at Keiko. The sinkhole is caused by a tear in the spatial harmony. In theory, this machine in its separated state will harness special abilities to create a sort of patchwork harmony and graft it onto the sinkhole. It's really very clever. And I would have used a club chair or maybe a beanbag. Those can be hard on your back, though.
Fee backed further away from the sinkhole to stand behind Keiko.
Special abilities? So it uses the animacules.
You mean they're actually good for something?
Megan shook her head. They don't need the machine. The machine is for us. It isn't just animacules who have essential skills. Everyone does. And the animacules have made sure to bring each of you here for a reason. They can sense your special abilities. And these abilities, combined with the abilities of the animacules, are what is needed to close the sinkhole. Think of your combined abilities as a patch, and the animacule's ability as a thread sewing the patch on.
Fee rolled her eyes.
Keiko frowned.
Not to be rude, but I don't think I have any special abilities.
Megan smiled. Of course you do. The animacules certainly do. In fact, she looked Keiko over thoughtfully. I believe yours is hope.
Hope?
See, Echo agrees. My own ability is perseverance. Then, of course, there is calculation. She nodded to Brian. Imagination. She smiled at her husband, who had finished working on the cylinder. And complaining. She gestured at Fee, then nodded at Buttons, who leapt into the chair and pressed its paw to the panel. The machine began to vibrate and whir. Buttons jumped back down.
Complaining? That's my essential skill. What the crap is that?
Megan's voice carried over the hum of the machine. Finding the faults in things is sometimes necessary to make them better. Don't take it so personally. Everyone, into your seats.
There's only one!
Keiko broke off as the machine's droning raised in pitch and the chair interface separated itself. There were three, then five interfaces, all arranged in a ring. The others chose seats and sat down in front of their respective control panels. Fee remained where she was. Complaining is not my essential anything. This is ridiculous.
Fee, please, we must hurry!
Hurry, Essie.
A nearby tree separated itself into distinct colors. The yellow and orange versions of itself detached from the ground and flew past her toward the sinkhole, disappearing into a swirl of black snow.
Fine, I'll sit.
The animacules formed a circle around them and sat, blinking. The red, blue, and green versions of the tree flew past behind them. Fee looked at her control panel. It had a large dial on the left side and two buttons on the right. That was all.
What am I supposed to do? This doesn't make any sense.
She looked up. There was Keiko. And then she was far away near the shadows. Everything seemed to spin and separate. The shadows whirled. Bee mashed the buttons in front of her, but nothing seemed to happen except that everything seemed to bounce up and down. She saw the animacules, her animacules, Echo and Ripper and Taper and marbles and buttons, all of them, splitting apart and flying toward the shadows. She mashed the buttons again to no avail.
Hate all of this! How did I get trapped into this ridiculous crap?
Bee mashed the buttons again with her palms and muttered to herself,
"This is ridiculous. Complaining? How is that a thing? Wasn't the whole point supposed to be that I was chosen to do something special? I put my whole life on hold and run all over the country to another damn planet, and that's my special purpose? Oh, Bee, Animalcules chose you for a special reason. And that's it? Everyone's going to die, and worlds collide, and everyone has a special purpose, and mine is to sit here and bitch about it?"
She slammed the console again.
"Well, that's crap. I can do things. I mean, I could... I don't like being dragged into things, things I didn't ask for, but if everyone is in trouble... Not that I care about them or whatever. Still, Keiko is annoying, and Max is goofy... And the animacules are just, Ripper is okay, sometimes. He needs some of those plastic claw caps that they put on cats to keep them from shredding furniture, and then he'd be okay. And Marbles is okay sometimes, too, I guess, kind of. It's not like I want to see them get sucked into a void.
She folded her arms solemnly and sat back.
Maybe I wanted to be helpful. It just would have been nice to be asked as well.
There was a roar and a slam. The world flashed red, then orange, yellow, green, blue, and purple. And then the shadows were gone, and everything was quiet and still, except for the low hum from the chair. Keiko, Max, Megan, Brian, and all the animacules were sitting calmly looking at her. Max leapt out of his chair.
"Wonderful! We did it! We did it, but I didn't do anything." "Of course you did. You used your special ability."
Bee looked at the panel in front of her.
"So what are these buttons for?" "To adjust the height of the chair."
Max had pulled out his notepad and was writing something excitedly.
"Amazing. I'll need a detailed account from everyone. Also, I will need a rhyme for epiphany."
Megan smiled.
"Polyphony."
"Brilliant! What did I ever do without you?"
"I'm sure you struggled. Now, since everyone seems to be okay, let's get everyone home." After what seemed to Fee to be an hour of hiking, but which was really only a few minutes, the group and the animacules reached the big translucent rock she had originally stood on. Above it, the air rippled like water.
"See?" Brian pointed. "Still there, but it won't last much longer. Whoever wants to go home should go now. It'll take time to open another one."
Megan nodded.
"With the sinkhole repaired and the prismatic residence of the planet's fabric stabilized, opening a portal will be much easier. A few adjustments to Max's original design should do the trick. A few days' work is all. We can get the parts we need in town."
Everyone stared at her. Bee spoke first.
"Town?"
"Korber, of course. You didn't think I'd been here alone all this time, did you? I just don't like being in town. It's easier to think in peace and quiet. The town is that way."
She pointed in one direction, and then in another.
"Or that way, if we want to get there from the other side. Some of the townspeople might want to go back with you, but I doubt it. We've all gotten pretty comfortable here with the animacules, but feel free to ask them anyway."
Keiko looked dreamily toward one of the directions that Megan had pointed to.
"I guess I thought I'd go back to Yokohama once this was all over. But If there is a whole town here with people who have lived in the prison world all this time, I think I'd like to stay for at least a little while. And I think we should ask if anyone wants to go back.
Uh-uh. Fee was already headed for the portal.
Wait a second.
Megan grabbed her arm and hugged her.
Thank you for everything.
Fee pulled herself free, awkwardly. No problem. Max started to say something, but she held up her hands. Nope, it's okay. I don't need hugs. You're welcome, or whatever. Max smiled and ran his fingers through his hair. Fair enough. I may contact you for some clarification on some of the animalcule behaviors you've observed. Megan took his arm and steered him away.
Enough, Max.
The two of them waved before heading off, arm in arm, with the animalcules trotting through the grass behind them. Brian only nodded to Fee curtly before hiking off toward the town with the thermoregulator. Keiko gave Fee a fierce hug.
You will try to come back and visit, yes?
Probably not. It's nice that everything worked out and the world didn't get swallowed, but I'd like to go back to working a boring job and worrying about bills. It's less stress.
Yes, that is true. But I will miss you.
Fee nodded and, sort of, hugged her back before turning and stepping into the portal. She found herself standing back in the driveway in Louisiana. The sun was either rising or setting, she wasn't sure. The tree Ripper had knocked over was lying in the road.
Ah, Ripper.
She sighed and climbed into the van. The inside floor and seats were still cluttered with marbles and empty coffee cups. She brushed these out of her way and started the engine, half expecting buttons to start randomly changing the radio. But it stayed off. The drive home was long and very quiet. She was exhausted when she finally pulled into her own driveway. The front lawn needed cutting. The old lady across the street would start griping about it soon. Fee smiled faintly to herself. It was kind of nice to have normal things to be irritated about. Her life could go back to being quiet and normal, just the way she liked it. Who needed all that aliens and magic and nonsense anyway? What normal person would want that? Definitely not her. The moment she put her key in the door, she knew something was wrong. A bright yellow animalcule was sitting in the doorway. Fee had never seen it before, but somehow she instantly knew what to call it. Your name is Lemonade, isn't it? Lemonade reached out a shaggy yellow paw, which was suddenly holding a glass of pink lemonade, complete with ice cubes and bendy straw. After hours in the van, Fee was tired and thirsty enough to take it. Before she could take a sip, though, something furry shoved her from behind. She stumbled into the doorway to find her living room packed wall to wall with animalcules. Most of hers were there. Marbles, Ripper, Unlocks, Stacks, Echo, Hides. Along with several more she had never even seen before. Lemonade, Ladder, Ball, Shoelaces, Steams, Clock, and many more. She was shoved again in the direction of the couch. A spotted animalcule, Spins, grabbed her wrist and spun her around. Ripper leapt toward her and she felt its claws tear into her shirt. Hey! Fortunately, the lanky and short-furred bathrobe wrapped her in a silk kimono just before Boost bounced her toward the couch. She landed with a bounce. Somehow, her shoes had been replaced with fuzzy slippers in the process. All of you, stop it! Lemonade tried to hand her another glass. I already have one. Boost and Opens trotted over to the front door together. Boost lifted Opens up to the knob to turn it. The door swung open to two very large and shaggy animalcules. He immediately understood that the reddish one was named Totes and the blonde one with the long ears was named Carries. They were carrying someone on their backs.
Hi, Fee! The animal animacules returned me to this planet and brought me here because they know that we have more work to do. Isn't that exciting, Fee? How was your drive back?
Hi, Keiko. Totes and Carries brought Keiko over to the couch and dumped her onto it. Lemonade immediately appeared next to her with a glass.
Oh, thank you, Lemonade.
Keiko, I thought you were all staying on Prism Planet.
Well, we did for a while. Time is strange there, you know. Then the animacules brought me here. How long has it been?
I don't know. It took a couple of days to drive her in the van with no air conditioning. Ripper, leave the wallpaper alone. Paper, the blinds don't need to be taped together. What is the green one called? Eater! Eater! Don't you dare touch those keys.
Don't you see they care about you, Fee, and want you to be happy?
She held up her glass of lemonade, jiggling it to make the eyes tinkle, and she grinned.
They even made sure we are together. Best friends, ready for a new adventure.
Fee set her lemonade down on the end table. We are not best friends. Keiko was undeterred.
The animacules seem to disagree. They know we are meant to work together, and I think they are right. It is fate.
Maybe I don't like fate. Maybe I want a boring job and binge-watching cop shows and being left alone. Buttons leapt onto the coffee table and tapped the remote control. The TV on the wall came to life. Fee recognized the cartoon that came on, having seen too much of it lately.
Keiko sighed happily. Niko Nanami! You like this episode, Fee? This is when Nanami meets the alien prince for the first time, but we don't know that he's a prince at first. I gave too much away! I'm sorry.
Fee started to get up when one of the animacules leapt onto her lap. Grudgingly, she remained seated. Hello, Ripper. Ripper looked at her, tilting his head and blinking slowly. Stop looking at me like that. I didn't say I wasn't going to do it, whatever it is.
It's just, you know, it would be nice to be asked if I wanted to go on world-saving adventures.
Stop blinking at me like that.
I didn't even get to do anything cool last time. I just got kidnapped and set in Megan's weird machine and...
Keiko interrupted.
But you were amazing, Fee! You were the one who figured out how to use Echo's ability to control the giants!
Fee shrugged.
Yeah, I guess. I did do that.
And you were the first one to jump into the portal ahead of me and Max. I thought you were very brave.
Maybe. It's just that Brian took Ripper and... Maybe I... She muttered something unintelligible.
I'm sorry, Fee.
Fee cleared her throat.
I said I was worried about... Ripper. A little bit. Maybe.
Stop staring at me. Ripper, I mean it. Stop.
Ugh. Oh, hell.
She folded her arms and looked away. Fine. I'll go save the world or whatever. Just stop looking at me like that. Ripper licked Fee's cheek. Keiko beamed from ear to ear.
I knew you would say yes.
So what do we have to do?
I have no idea.
She happily sipped her lemonade. What?
I don't know. The animacules brought me here. They have a purpose, and I'm sure they will guide us.
Fee shoved a Ripper off her lap and stood. She looked around the room. The room was stuffed with animacules. She had to step over several of them. Paper, tips, buttons, lemonade, stickers, unlocked sparky fish and berries, before she found the one she wanted. She stooped and picked the creature up to look into its oversized eyes. Tell me, are you guys here because... How do I word this? Do Keiko and I... Is there something we're supposed to do?
Do!
Is it big?
Big.
Is it dangerous?
Dangerous.
That figures. So why didn't you bring Max?
Max.
Bee frowned. What do you mean?
Keiko was suddenly standing next to her, her face full of concern.
Echo, are you saying that Max is in trouble?
Trouble.
Bee held Echo closer to her face and lowered her voice solemnly. Echo, is Prism Planet going to blow up or something? Yes?
Echo blinked.
Max is still on Prism Planet, right?
Echo stared. So he's here on Earth?
Echo began chewing on its right front paw. Damn it, Echo. Please don't tell me we have to go to some completely different planet.
Planet?
Damn. Exactly the kind of ridiculous crap I was afraid of. She set Echo down, turning away so that Keiko wouldn't see her smile.
This concludes Animalcules, a production of Brick Moon Fiction. Animalcules was written by Stephanie Jessup, based on an idea by Jason T. Reed and Casey Wolf. Narrated by Amy Weaver. Sound engineering by Casey Wolf. Mixing, editing, and effects by Craig Good. Additional effects courtesy freesound.org. Music by Kevin MacLeod. For more information about Animalcules and other Brick Moon projects, visit BrickMoonEntertainment.com.
.com.
Shut up, Echo.